couple weeks ago, I preached on a sermon that I called The Truth About Hell. And I think I did not update the slide for some reason, Mom. That should say, maybe I just didn't update it. But the sermon today is The Truth About Judgment, is what it should say. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and listen to the sermon from a couple weeks ago, The Truth About Hell. Because that sermon will be very much tied into this one as well. And in some ways, this sermon today won't make a whole lot of sense unless you've already heard that one in some ways. But I do encourage you, if you haven't heard it yet, then listen to that one this afternoon. Because this week we'll be looking at what the Bible says about God's judgment. God's judgment. The truth about God's judgment. I get an email about once a week notifying me of crime in our area. Crime in our area. And here's what the email looks like. Go ahead and put that picture on the screen, Mom. There's an email that I get once a week, and it's from from crimedata.org, I believe. Mom, do you see that picture on there? Oh, you're fine. But I get this email, and it basically says, it's a really short email. It's not very long at all. There's a headline to it, and then there's a description of what it says. But the headline for the email says, we're sorry. We're very sorry. Then the content of the email says, there's been no crime data reported this week. We're sorry. There's been no crime data reported this week. So it's, like I said, it's a really short email, and that's what it looks like. I took the screenshot 2 years ago, but since those 2 years ago, the email looks the same almost every single week. I think it actually looks exactly the same every single week. No crime this week. So there's two things that stick out to me from this email. One, we're very sorry. Why should they apologize for no crime? And I was thinking about it, and this is probably not what they meant by this, but in some ways, we're secretly longing to hear about crime. We kind of like the fact that somebody else committed crime and we didn't do it, but we like hearing about it because we like judging them because they committed a crime. We secretly like hearing about crime, and we like judging other people for their sins while making excuses for our own, claiming God's grace. So there's that. Go bring up that picture again, Mom. The second thing that sticks out to me about this is where it says no crime data this week, because that's simply not true. Now, maybe it's true that they don't have the data for it, but it's not true that there's been no crime this last week in our area. I often hear about, you probably do too, drugs, domestic violence, even murder, right here in our own communities. It happens in every big city and nearly every small town. There has been crime this last week. There's been crime these last few weeks. And God has a lot to say about that, about judgment. The truth is, we're all sinners, and there is a lot of sin in the world, a lot of sin. And because of that, I think we all long for judgment. We all long for God to make things right. Today I want to show you that God's judgment, why God's judgment isn't bad news at all, but it's actually very, very good news. Very, very good news because of Jesus. So we're looking at this in terms of this paradigm of two truths and a lie, as we started looking at various truths from history that the church has strayed from what the Bible actually says about these things. So the first truth we're going to be looking at, and most of these things, I don't know if you noticed the last time we preached on two truths about hell, most of it is very uncontroversial. I'm not coming at things and saying we've gotten everything all messed up. What I'm saying is we agree on a lot of stuff. The church has got a lot right, and yet it's sometimes strayed towards a lie as well. But the truth for this week, the first truth for this week, is that God is the judge, and he will judge all of the earth. That's true. Hebrews chapter 9 is where we're going to be looking, at least somewhat. Like last time, we'll also be looking at several things, so feel free to turn and find things as we go, or most of them will be on the screen as well. But Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says this, "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment." Judgment. See, God is the judge, and He will judge all the earth. We will all die, and after death comes judgment. I think we all long, at least in some way, for that judgment. Because we know that so much of this earth, so much that happens on this planet, is bad. And it's just not right. It's not right. And we know, we long for God to judge the earth and make things right. I saw this chart. The date on the chart, that I made a chart out of it. I saw this thing, public opinion by party on prison time served. So about judgment that happens in this world. And this is separated by party. So the blue is the blue is people who think that there's too much time in prison. People spend too much time in prison, and the red is too little time in prison. So, and the first two bars show that Democrats generally think that people spend too much time in prison versus the number of Democrats who think that there's people spend too little time in prison. And then on the flip side, they're almost completely opposite. Republicans think that very few Republicans think that people spend too little time or too much time in prison, and most Republicans think that people spend far too little time in prison. It's interesting how there's such a big divide there between just political party in terms of how much time people think that other people should spend in prison for crimes that they've committed. Some people think, Democrats generally think that they spend too little time. Republicans think the other way around. Democrats think that they spend too much time. Republicans think that they should get far more time. Along the same vein of thought, it's interesting that there's a very much a divide in terms of what we think about prison, what they think about prison. Democrats generally think prison should reform a person so that they, after they get finished with their time in prison, they can reenter society a new person and be able to integrate into society as a civilized person, not committing crime again. Whereas Republicans think of prison as being more punitive rather than restorative, and they think they just need to pay for their crimes, pay for what they've done, and punish them in prison. That's why they think they need more time. It's interesting that we see that and that there's a clear divide. But the thing is, even with this divide like that, no one is saying that we should just abolish. Well, maybe I should say no one. No, very few people are saying we should just abolish prisons altogether. We all agree that there should be some form of judgment. We all long for sin to be dealt with. And the interesting thing is that prisons can only do that to a degree. Prisons can't, and no matter where you fall on that spectrum, prisons can't truly bring justice. I'm not even talking politically. I'm just saying factually, prisons can't undo the wrong that was done. That would be justice. We long for justice to be in all the world where there is no more wrongdoing. So we rightly judge so much of the world as ungodly, worthy of God's judgment. And we're given this promise that God will bring about justice. Psalm 96, verse 13 says it like this, "Before the Lord, He is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His faithfulness." So God is coming. Jesus is coming, and He will judge the earth, and God's given us that promise. And yet, this is also a problem for every single one of us, because we're all sinners. We like to say that God is coming to judge everyone else, but the Bible is clear that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, the thing is, we're all the people that need that judgment. We're all the people that have done wrong in the world. It's interesting We all judge other people, sometimes rightly. Sometimes we recognize sin and call them out on it, call people out on it, and sometimes it's right. But our judgment, all of us, our judgment is also broken. Our judgment is flawed. Our judgment is inconsistent. Our judgment is hypocritical because we judge others for the speck that's in their eye, and then before taking the log out of our own eye. Our judgment is oftentimes cruel. We highlight small things that others have done, but don't even consider the bigger things that we've done. And yet we can't help ourselves, can we? We judge others for their failures while giving ourselves a pass. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't judge, but only that we should judge rightly as God judges. But we don't oftentimes do that. We don't judge rightly. We judge hypocritically, cruelly, unjustly. Left to ourselves, our judgment only leads to despair for ourselves, because if we judge ourselves out, when Jesus has something to say about that, our judgment leads to despair for ourselves or self-righteousness towards others. Ultimately, our judgment is sin. I was talking with Abby about this yesterday, about how much I wanted to get into Greek words and what judgment is linguistically and things like this. But suffice it to say, just to sum all that conversation up, judgment isn't just, oftentimes we think of judgment as what God's going to do, but judgment also means what we're going to do, our decision. That's what that word ultimately means, is what kind of decision will we make? Ultimately, our judgment, our decision in life has been to sin. We've chosen that. That's what we've chosen. Proverbs 14:12 says it like this. It says,
Proverbs 14:12, Mom.
you're good. It's the verse that says, there you go. There's a way that seems right to a person, but its end is the way to death. There's a way that seems right to man. That's oftentimes how I've memorized it. But its end leads to destruction. Our judgment, our way, our decision has been to sin, and it leads to death. That's been our judgment. But God has something very different in mind when he talks about judgment. Truth number two. So truth number one was that God is a judge, and he will judge all the earth. And we all long for that. But truth number two is that God's judgment is mercy through the cross. This is God's judgment. Hebrews chapter 9. We already read verse 27, but let's continue on it as well. Verse 27 says, just as it's appointed for people to die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Now, I want you to notice that verse 28 is in the context of talking about judgment. See, judgment isn't just the bad thing. It's the good thing. Jesus dying for sin and bringing salvation is part of the judgment. It's part of the judgment. When talking about judgment, we oftentimes point to Revelation, and rightly so. Revelation 20 verse 12 says, I saw also the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Verse 15 continues this as well. Verse 14 and 15. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second to last book of the Bible, talking about the great judgment. What Hebrews talks about is appointed to die once and then the judgment. Oftentimes we point to these verses just talking about the judgment. And that's true. That's true. When we talked about the truth about hell 2 weeks ago, we saw that the lake of fire, interestingly, is not hell. You remember that? Go back to that verse, Mom. Bring it up back on the screen again. I'm working my mom hard today.
Yeah.
Verse 28, once again. Notice this, because this is important. We simplify heaven and hell so much oftentimes, and I get it, because it's really easy and logical to us to try to divide things up in very simplistic terms. But notice, death and Hades, that's the hell that we usually talk about when we talk about hell. Death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. So the hell as we know it, oftentimes picture it, will not exist in eternity. It's thrown into the lake of fire. It's thrown. It's gone. It's destroyed. And the Bible says that there, in eternity, there will be no more death. There will be no more sin or suffering or pain. See, Jesus says, or the Bible says that this lake of fire is going to destroy hell as we know it. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But Jesus also said that the judgment, this judgment, or at least something to do with this judgment, isn't just something that happens in the future, but something that happened 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. See, the cross was and is God's judgment. John chapter 12, verses 31 through 32. This is Jesus talking. Now is the judgment. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. See, at the cross, sin was condemned, Satan was defeated, and death was destroyed. Period. End of story. We forget that sometimes as Christians. We keep on longing for a future judgment when God's going to make everything right. But the truth is, Jesus died on the cross. And that's the mechanism by which God makes all things good. At the cross, God judged sin once and for all. God judged our sin. God judged the sins of those who have yet to come to believe, but will believe. See, we judge ourselves, and we judge others out of God's kingdom. But God judges us in by what Jesus did for us on the cross. You see, God's judgment is not Him abandoning us forever. God's judgment is Him rescuing us. That's why Jesus came. He came to rescue us, keep us from condemnation, keep us safe in Jesus' arms forever. And when we continue to judge ourselves or others, condemn ourselves or others, that's saying, God, your judgment wasn't good enough. Instead, Romans chapter 8 says it like this. Verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. We judge ourselves. We judge our others out when God judges us in by what Christ did for us. And when they come in, when they believe in Christ, they're in forever. See, the world says you're guilty. The world says you're disqualified. You've gone too far and there's no hope for you. But God says, I've judged you righteous in Christ. You're mine. I think this is surprising to most people, even most believers. We're used to thinking judgment equals punishment. We think judgment is bad, and certainly we can receive it as bad. But it can also be very, very good. And it is very, very good. John chapter 9, verse 39, Jesus said it like this too. John 9, 39, Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see will become blind. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Everyone thought that they could see. But Jesus is like, no, no, no. They got a long way to go before they even come to the point recognizing their blindness. They think that they see. Other people think that they got it all together, but Jesus is like, that's not what we're looking for here. They need to first be convinced of their blindness before they can come to see. Just like we say all the time, we can't be saved until we are convinced of our sin, right? The same kind of thing applied to the Pharisees. Even though they seemed righteous on the outside, they had to be first convinced of their desperateness for Jesus. See, in the gospel, and all that's a good thing, by the way. That's all good. In the gospel, judgment equals salvation. The very act of judgment that fell on Jesus is the same act that brings us to life. Judgment isn't God's rejection. It's His mercy poured out on us through the cross. So those are the two truths. One, that God is the judge, and that He will judge all the earth. And that, number two, God's judgment is mercy through Jesus. But there's also a lie that we've come to believe, that many have come to believe, I believed for a long time, is that God's judgment is only for some people. Sometimes we'll say those people. What we really mean by that is God's judgment is for other people. Not me, but those people. That's the lie. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who disobey the gospel of God?" It's interesting that judgment doesn't start with those people. It starts with the household of God. See, Peter was talking about, this is post Jesus' resurrection and all that kind of stuff. So Peter was talking not just about the Jews, but believers, people who had come to believe. He said, we're the household of God. And judgment starts with us. It's interesting that we oftentimes think of salvation as being, you know, being forgiven of all of our sins and going to heaven, whereas the Bible talks about salvation in terms of not just being forgiven of our sins, but our sins being completely removed from us so that we don't even desire sin anymore. And what Peter is saying here is that, man, we sometimes, even in our flesh, even as believers, we still cling to our sin. He's like, Peter's like, no, you're going to be judged for how often we've clung to our sin. And that needs to be purified of you. That's what the process of sanctification is. It begins with us. We need to be purified of all of our sins. Through his judgment, God purifies. He judges what he loves. This verse goes on. Verse 18 says, "And if a righteous person is saved with difficulty, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner?" God doesn't judge, or maybe the word should be discipline, people that he doesn't love. If God just didn't care about humanity, he would just allow them to go their own way. You know, maybe they'll go to hell forever. He doesn't care. But over and over and over again, Jesus preached the gospel so that people could be saved. He wasn't preaching to people he didn't love. When we go out to share the gospel with people, evangelize, tell people about Jesus, it's because we believe that God loves them, right? We shouldn't be indifferent to them rejecting the gospel. I mean, rightly so. Our hearts should ache and break for people who've consistently rejected the gospel. And yet recognize that God still loves them. We're going to be talking next week about two truths and a lie about God's love, and how, once again, we get a lot of the gospel right, but we sometimes don't go far enough in terms of what the gospel is. But for now, just I want us to know that God's judgment is an extension of his love. God is love. Sometimes I think Christians believe that God is love, but and while they won't say it this way, they'll think he's kind of like a yin-yang. God is love, but he's also hate. God is mercy, but he is also wrath. He is wrath. The Bible never, I mean, certainly God shows wrath, but the Bible says that God is love. And I think even his wrath is an extension of his love. Even his judgment somehow is God showing his love to unrepentant sinners. You see, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but the unrighteous, people who are far from God, out of his love. And if Jesus came to save sinners, then judgment cannot stop until every sinner is made right. Okay, so as we start to summarize this a little bit, many people will point to the future judgment as the time when God judges unbelievers and casts them out forever, right? I mean, that's typically what we're taught when it comes to the judgment. But this is the most This is the common misconception about judgment, that judgment only means wrath, destruction, and hopelessness. But Scripture reveals something very different. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as my sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. It's interesting. We oftentimes say God disciplines believers but punishes unbelievers. But Scripture says that he does both for the people he loves. There's no distinction there. How do we reconcile this? Here's how I believe the Bible reconciles it. Yes, judgment burns. But what it burns away is our pride, our sin, and even death. Just a few verses after John 3:16, Jesus said, "This is the judgment. The light has come into the world," talking about himself, "the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Until we see it as very good, until we see Jesus as very good, judgment is certainly going to feel like hell. But when we accept it as mercy, as God's love and grace towards us, we actually see it for what it truly is, and that's God's consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. God is jealous for us. When we reject him over and over and over again, it doesn't diminish his love. He doesn't start loving us less. He's just that much more consumed that he will pursue us. He will win us. So instead of thinking judgment is for someone else, we need to recognize judgment as God's refining fire for all of us. 1 Peter 4:12, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you." We oftentimes think that if something something isn't going our way or something, it's just very natural to think, why God? But sometimes the judgment of God is God's good way of disciplining us. And Peter says it begins with the household of God. It begins with us. It begins with us. And then from there, it will not end until it has reached all, because the same judgment that purified us in Christ is the judgment that will, in the end, purify the world through Christ. That's the final judgment. Judgment isn't a sign of rejection. It's a sign that God loves us enough to make us right. And at the cross, the judgment of all fell on Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. "He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world." On the last day, the judgment we face will not be a different judgment, but the very same one. Already endured by Jesus, already finished by Jesus, already victorious in Jesus. And it's good news for all, because Jesus bore it all. As the angel said before Jesus was even, or as Jesus was born, "It's good news of great joy that shall be for all the people." All the people. And true justice is not getting what we deserve, but I think it's God getting what he deserves. All of his creation loving him and praising him forever. That's true justice. So, the two truths. Number one, God is the judge, and he will judge all the earth, not allowing any to stay in their sin forever. He will judge all the earth. Our judgment is sin. Our decision has been to sin. God's judgment, God's decision is mercy through the cross. And the lie is that God's judgment only applies to some people, those people. But the truth is that at the cross, God's judgment fell on Jesus. And through that judgment, we're all set free. So judgment isn't bad. We can receive it as bad if we cling to our sin. That's true for believers, unbelievers, both, because it starts with the household of God. Judgment isn't bad, but it's actually very, very good. Many people believe that God's judgment separates them forever from God. But as we saw last week, God is omnipresent. You can't get away from God. Even if you go to the heavens, he's there. Even if you descend to Sheol, which is hell, he is there. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. So judgment isn't God moving further away from us, but actually judgment is him coming closer to us, that we would see how bad our sin is and receive Jesus. But until we accept God's judgment, we exclude ourselves from the kingdom of God. Don't do that. Trust in Jesus. Because then you'll see that every punishment, every discipline that you've ever endured in all of your life isn't God punishing you, isn't God hating you, but actually is showing you his love for you. That you would receive Jesus and rest in his love.